Do you love to travel and save money? Or do you wish you could travel but money is holding you back? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Families Fly Free podcast, where I show you how to fly your family free forever using my simple fly free formula. I'm your host, Lynn Mettler. My family of four has mastered the art of flying free as simply as possible since 2015, and I want to show your family how to do it too. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Families Fly Free podcast. I'm Lynn Mettler, the creator of Families Fly Free, where we teach you a simple way to always fly your whole family for free using travel rewards. So I have yet another travel rewards success story for you today. So we have Jesse Brown with us, who is here to share his travel rewards journey and some of the best tips that he has learned so far. So Jesse is a Families Fly Free member who's in his second year of membership. So he's now officially what we call a VIP inside of Families Fly Free. So welcome, Jesse.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Will you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you like to travel?
Sure. So it's a small family right now. It's me and my wife and our fur baby, Murphy, who's a three-year-old red lab. I grew up traveling a whole lot. Back in the day when it was really easy to get bumped off of flights on Continental and stuff like that. And that's how my mom got us to travel for years. You know, no big deal. Skip a day of school and get $1,000 in rewards. Right. And then you get a free trip. So it works out pretty good. But we have a lot of different travel styles, my wife and I, depending on how we feel, whether it's going to be an adventure trip or it's going to be we're going to go sit on the beach and have a margarita trip or whatever we can do. And it's However we can find ways to save money getting somewhere and staying somewhere makes us feel pretty good because then we don't worry about spending as much money once we're there.
Right. So has learning how to save money on travel enabled you to travel more?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously it's, you know, we both work full time. So getting the, you know, a week here or a week there, it's a little bit harder to do as much as we would like. But having the ability to not necessarily worry about what that flight's going to cost is a big deal. You don't sit there and stress about it. It makes it a much more enjoyable trip usually.
Yes, right. When you're not stressed about how much you spent and it needs to be perfect and all of that. Yeah. Okay, so tell us how you got started in travel rewards to begin with.
I've always kind of been interested in it again. For the purpose of saving money, there was a long time there, like right after college and in college, I didn't have much money and I liked to travel. So I think it was around 2010 or so, I actually picked up a job with what was then US Airways when I was living in Phoenix. And I did, you know, I was the guy on the ramp throwing your bags. Ah. And so I learned all about non-rev travel and, you know, being able to hop on and off flights. And that was where I first kind of got the bug. I did that for about 3 years and traveled all over the world for almost nothing. And then when I left that job, it was like, well, okay, now what? How do we keep this going? And my then girlfriend, now wife, was in school in Washington and I'm in Reno, Nevada. So it's a little bit further than we'd want to drive. And I was like, well, how can I do this? And I found the Southwest stuff and I started doing some research on Southwest. And I did figure out some of the stuff to save some points myself back then. And all of a sudden I was able to travel up there, you know, around once a month, which was a big deal for someone who was making near minimum wage. And I just didn't have the money to do it myself. And so that, you know, pushed me a little bit further in. And then you get into some of the credit card rewards and I move points around there. And then I kept going, well, now here we are years later and okay, what can I do? How can I continue to travel and not necessarily spend all the money from my paycheck? And that was kind of what led us to Families Fly Free to begin with, just podcast hunting and online research. And yeah, and it's been so far a good little journey. I think we've done pretty well and we were able to travel when we want to. So that's the whole idea.
When you were, you know, beginning to dabble in travel rewards and travel cards, did you have a sense that there was more to be learned there?
Yeah, I think there's always more to be learned on everything. So you take, depending on how much time, you know, and I work an awful lot, high stress work. And so I kind of try to go broad strokes as much as I can. And then when I get a little bit of an inkling, I dive in a little bit more, just because I only have so much time. And I knew there was always a little bit more, and I'm still learning as I go, but I'm not deep diving. I'm not studying for an exam. So when there's something I want to know, I'll look it up, I'll figure it out, I'll make some phone calls, I'll do some research with the community, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm not one anymore. I used to be, where I have to know everything up front. It's just when I need to know something, I'll figure it out and I'll move on.
Well, and I think like that speaks to the 80-20 approach, which I'm a big fan of, you know, focusing on the things that will have the most impact and letting the rest go, you know. Sure. And that is the approach we try to take with Families Fly Free. It's not perfect, but it gets you where you want to go by leveraging the most impactful things you can do in travel rewards. And then letting all those other little detailed things you could do too, but that won't have that big of an impact on what you're doing.
You're not competing with anyone. You know, if it works for you, it works for you. You know, if it doesn't work for someone else, but it works for you, so what? You're not competing against, right. You're making it work.
Yes, exactly. And I'd love to ask you too, like the difference when you were flying for free by working for an airline versus what you're doing now. How are the two different?
Non-revving was awesome. And for those that don't know what non-revving is, it stands for non-revenue travel. It's just a perk you get for working for the airlines. These days, the rules, to my knowledge, are significantly different than when I was doing it 15 years ago, dealing with Zed fares on other airlines and stuff like that. I think the difference is back then, the way the schedule worked, I worked with 5,000 or 6,000 people on the ramp. So I traded around shifts like crazy. And I'd work, you know, 3 days a week, put in my 36 hours, and I have 4 days off to go travel. So that's different than now, but I hated that job. You don't have the flexibility because you're limited to what seats are available when you're non-revving. So my wife and I, one time we were flying on buddy passes, and this was after I left the airline. We went to Italy for 10 days and we almost got stuck in Venice because Lufthansa went on strike and all of the standby seats went away. So when you're non-revving, that's a big thing. So when you're doing it the way we're doing it now, with the Families Fly Free approach, you don't necessarily have that issue. Depending on how you're approaching it, you have a guaranteed seat, which makes a big difference. Now, granted, we're spending points to do this, but you know, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I don't need that kind of stress.
Well, that's what I thought. Like when you work for an airline, it's all like, just if there's seats available, you can hop on. Right. So you kind of have to be ready to go, and you don't know for sure. And
you don't know.
Yeah,
you have no idea, and you can look it up, but you know, then they cancel the flight right before you, and then the whole day's booked. And then if you are somewhere and you need to come back to get to a shift, and there's no seats available, you're in trouble. There's nothing you can do to get back to work unless you go buy a ticket. But we all know how buying last minute tickets go. It's just not the best approach for things.
Yeah, and I mean, we have flight attendants who are Families Fly Free members currently, which tells me that this approach is better than, and I know one of them I'm thinking of, she's just talked about, she wants to fly the rest of her family too, like not just she and her husband. And so this helps with a strategy for that too, you know.
Well, you can't fit a family of four in a jump seat. So
exactly. Why did you decide to join Families Fly Free, opposed to what you were already doing? Because we have lots of people that are like dabbling in travel rewards and they just aren't sure of, is this really going to help me enough beyond what I'm already doing, you know?
I think when we joined, that was kind of nearing the end of the COVID era. And, you know, I had a lot of time when I wasn't working, sitting around and just staring at the pretty pictures that the Bing wallpaper throws up at me every day. And like, God, I want to go travel. And, you know, at that point, you know, my wife was on unemployment. She'd been laid off a couple of times for COVID and my hours had been cut and I wasn't making what I'd hope I was, but it's like, I got to go travel. I got to get out of here. And it came back to how do I do this? And then interestingly enough, I mean, it won't surprise you, but I mean, I found Families Fly Free through Choose FI, which I listened to sporadically. you know, when I have an hour drive, a podcast goes on. And so I was like, huh, okay, let me do some research. And all right, this might be kind of what I'm looking for, to see if I can actually, you know, put some travel stuff together again. You know, you get that travel bug and you want to go. And after that COVID era, especially, it was there. We took a trip to Cancun right before, like 3 months before COVID shut everything down. And that was the most travel we did, like leaving the house, for 2.5 years. And so it was, all right, let's do this. And yeah, we did. I pulled the trigger. It's always a little nerve wracking, but it was a good choice. You learn enough to make it worth it, in the sense that you get into it, or you get out of it what you put into it, as is true with pretty much everything. You know, lately I've been busy. I haven't been as active in the community as I'd like to be, but I still check in on a weekly basis, at least for a quick visual. And it makes a difference. It really does. And the notifications, the email notifications weekly certainly help. And, you know, I flip through them real quick, and there's stuff I find in there that help me on a weekly basis to maximize what I'm doing. So definitely nice.
And like our email notifications you're talking about, is that that's a time saver versus, I don't know, having to scour blogs? And like, what would you do as an alternative to that?
Yeah, honestly, I'd probably go to my Chase Ultimate Rewards portal and try to hunt that information myself, which I won't do. Yeah. So it's one of those things, or flight releases. I don't go hunt that information myself. Most of the stuff you'll see in an email, I would just, okay, if I got the email from Southwest, I'd read it. But that's about the only way I find out the information. And it's been countless times over the last, you know, probably 8 months or a year, where it's a sale or a flight notification or something that's allowed me to go out and take action on some flights that I wouldn't have even known existed, because I'm not hunting that information. It's just, you know, that's the 80-20. I don't have time to go hunt it. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's probably for the folks who are doing some travel reward stuff. That's a reason right there that we can help you, you know, among many, but beyond what you're doing yourself, you know, is just that staying on top of just the 20% of information you need to know.
Well, it's that whole idea of, you know, you're an expert at what you're an expert at. And a lot of people don't have time to be experts at everything.
Right. So, don't want to be, for that matter.
They don't want to be. Like, they have no desire. Like, I don't consider myself an expert at travel rewards, but I'm fairly decent compared to most people.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, with the Families Fly Free community, there's a lot of people out there that are way better at this than I am, and care to be a lot better at this than I am. So for me personally and my family, I would be silly not to take advantage of that, because they're going to know more. They're going to point me in the right direction, whether it's a one-on-one or some kind of an email or just the community answering questions. That's going to save me so much time trying to figure something out and fully understand something, because they already get it. And, right. You know, it's just one of those things. For those, you know, you can look at it from, I mean, so many different ways, anything you want to do. We all do it with YouTube now. We don't just sit there and tinker and try to figure something out. 95% of us are going to go to YouTube and say, how do you do this? And then, oh, that's how you do that. And we move on. That's the time saver. It's the same kind of approach.
Can you talk a little bit about the community? You mentioned like trying to check in there, you know, once a week. Where do you find value in the community?
I look at for people's experiences, mostly. I remember we did our trip to Ireland this last year, and, you know, Cammie had good information on there. And so a couple quick questions here and there. I do see people do post questions. I have responded to a few. Hey, have you been here? What do you think? Places to stay? Where's a good place to travel this time of year? You know, stuff like that is Googleable, but we all know how well it goes when you Google something like that. It's very specific information if you kind of know what you're looking for. And it's fun to see what everyone's doing.
It is.
It's like, ooh, that's going to go on my list. That was a good call. So community is nice. It's big. And there's a lot of people out there who will answer questions and help you out when you need it, for sure.
And I just had the experience yesterday. We're getting ready to go to Costa Rica, and I just posted that we had changed the hotel where we're staying. And so another member commented and said, oh my gosh, we just came back from there 2 weeks ago. Do you have any questions? And I was like, I certainly do. So you know, we're going back and forth on, is it really hot there right now? Are the mosquitoes a problem? And, you know, there was a delay. And when she was driving from this place to another, so she was telling us, don't get off the main road. I mean, like, that stuff is invaluable, you know?
Totally invaluable. Something you wouldn't even have considered until you got there. It's like, God, I wish I would have known this.
Thank goodness we knew not to get off the main road and onto giant potholes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So super. Okay. And so tell us, you know, in terms of savings and what kind of travel you've been able to do since you've been a member.
I've been a little bit slacking. Again, we're at that 80-20 point where I don't track everything. It's just not worth my time.
Right.
But I would say I'm in the last year, we're probably well over 100,000 points saved for a handful of trips. And when you factor in, that's just for flights. When you factor in, you know, stays and stuff like that, we're probably 150 to 160,000 points, which that's a lot of points.
Right. And on Southwest, that's like,
more
trips.
Yeah, exactly. It's more you can do. You can spread that stuff out. And not even look at it like, hey, we're playing the save game and I'm getting a deal. It's just like, oh, sweet. So I'm flush now and I can plan something for 8 months from now. And it's kind of nice to always look at that account and go, oh, okay, I got enough to do that. Just not a big deal.
And so I think that speaks to, we're talking about saving points, of how we really teach you to stretch your points. So it sounds like you had a pretty good sense of how to earn the points. But maybe what you really learned in here was how to pay fewer points for every flight.
How to pay fewer points and make those points last.
Yeah.
And the tips and tricks and the stuff that you learn when you put in the time, it really does make a difference. And that's a ton of points. You know, I mean, honestly, go to Southwest or something and just type in where you want to go and look at what those points are and see how far that can take you. It's a lot of trips that can take you.
And you have, there's just two of you. And so
just two of us.
With a companion pass, you only have to pay points for one of you. So that's like a crazy amount.
You take that 150,000 points times it by two, and that's equivalent to what you're looking at. It's a lot of points.
So that's just super important. I want to point out is to learn not just how to earn the points, but how to stretch the points. And that's why it works so well for families. If there's more than two of you as well, you don't have to fit in the jump seat, right? You can have enough points to take everybody because we teach you how to stretch the points. That's half of the points.
I think an important distinction is stretch the points, but don't spend all your time only trying to stretch the points.
Yes.
Like if there's something you really want to do and it's going to cost this, just do it if you have it. Because we can sit here and play that game all day long. And you can always go earn more points. Like there are so many ways to do it. And the community will teach you how to do that. You can always earn the points. But if it's, oh my God, that's too many points, I'm not going to go do that. Guys, it's just points. Like it's not costing you anything except the taxes. So just go do it. If the points account goes to zero, so what? Like it can't go negative. So it's only going to go to zero. Like
the idea here is to spend your points. Right. Don't hoard your points.
Not race to a million points.
I know. And I have literally seen people that had a million points and didn't want to spend them because I don't know. It apparently is a game to just see how many points you can collect. That is not our game here. Our game is to spend as many points on as many trips as possible. So, but I think I love. Yeah, that's a great thing to bring up of. Because I think we do such a good job of stretching the points most of the time, that means, like you say, when you have this thing and it is more points or it's a time of year where it's just busier or it's the all-inclusive or whatever, you can do that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to still have more points coming your way, you know.
Well, we did that, and I would say we took a trip to Puerto Vallarta this last year for 8 days, 9 days, I can't remember. But we went to the Hyatt all-inclusive down there, great resort, and it was a whole mess for the first two nights, but they got us to the right hotel, the last few, and it was a tremendous amount of points, like hundreds of thousands of points, because I wanted an all-inclusive, I wanted to sit on a beach, I had them, and I'm like, you know what, stop this, playing the game, trying to find out, just book the stupid thing, and move on, and it's like, it was great, it was a great trip, and all-inclusive, you didn't have to worry about it, but that's going back to that same point, 3 or 4 years ago, I probably wouldn't have done that because stretching the points wasn't something I really knew how to do. And so now I had them. Okay, like, are they doing any good just sitting in that account? No, not really. Let's go. Let's take the two of us and just go do an all-inclusive, not worry about a thing, sit on a beach, spend the points, nice room, move on. And we were on like the 30th floor, view of the whole ocean, little coves, like totally worth it.
So worth it.
Spend the points when you find something you really want to do. Can always get more.
And like, I think that you have a confidence. I think maybe that's a difference too, like saying how you were before versus how you are now. You have a confidence that you know how to collect more points.
Yeah.
Whereas before you might've been like, oh, I don't know, like I have this amount, I need to really make the most of them, you know, because.
Well, I've talked to some people and coached them through, some of my friends a little bit. And there's this fear out there with a lot of people that haven't pulled the trigger on, not necessarily a community like this, but trying to dive into the travel rewards. And I can't do that. I can't spend that. You know, I can't, like, not that hard, guys, when you know what you're doing. But you need that guidance to get started. And if you can get that little bit of a guidance, you don't have to go spend $100,000 to earn 100,000 points. Like,
you know, isn't it sad that that's such a misconception out there?
Misconception. You can play the game and you can learn to stack and you can do all this stuff. And man, points just appear. wait. How many are coming off of that statement? I didn't spend that much money. What's going on? So the Families Fly Free community is great at teaching you that at least initial first couple steps to get rid of those misconceptions, because that's not it. And I run into resistance with my friends on that all the time. It's like, guys, no, it's so much easier than what you're making it. It really is. So many ways.
So do you feel like then it's worth the cost to join? Have you gotten your money's worth?
It's worth the cost. Again, you get out of it what you put into it. I think if you're ready to dive in and learn and actually do some travel, it's a fantastic option. But if it's one of those things where, oh, sweet, I got it and I'm never going to open it again. Oh, it didn't work. Like, that's no good for anyone. It's not good for you. It's not good for the community. No one wants that. So jump in and commit half an hour a night. Like, we can deal with half an hour, turn off the streaming service for half an hour and dive in a little bit.
Get off of Instagram for half an hour.
Yeah, you know, or, you know, as one of my friends says, get off the snap face. Like, it's one of those things. I think it's absolutely worth it if you're going to do some travel and you're going to do a little bit of studying and a little bit of learning. If you're one of those like, oh, that won't work. It's probably not for you. But if, hey, I want to go travel, how do I do this? I don't think I have the means. What do I do? You can make it work. You really can.
Do you feel like it takes a ton of time?
No, it doesn't take much time. I think when I first started, now, obviously, I had a fairly robust travel history. But I think when I first signed up, I went through, actually, I did it on the weekends. And I spent 2 or 3 hours a weekend for maybe a month. And I worked my way through most of the courses and the information and kind of dove in and, you know, really 10, 12 hours. And it probably wasn't even that much. I'm guessing that was a while ago. But I mean, if you went 15 minutes a night, you could get through the basics and some really good learning and information in, you know, a few weeks. Not bad.
Yeah, that's
one of those ones that hyper-focus is a couple days. Like, you can do it.
And you probably went beyond just like the new member basic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You get that little, hey, course, here's where you're at thing. Okay. I can keep going. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot just by jumping in and doing the new member stuff where we just kind of teach you the basics. But then we do have some people that just binge. Yeah. Instead of watching the streaming show, binge on this, right? You can learn all kinds of things about travel in there beyond just our how to fly free.
Well, I did deep dives on the more advanced stuff. Because again, a lot of the basics I had some experience with. So, you know, if it was video, you put it on like 2x speed and you just cruise.
That's a good tip.
If it's stuff you think you may know, just turn it up 2x, 2.5x speed, get through it. Listen for that one little tidbit you didn't think of. Because even I found those in some of the basic ones, like, ooh, I didn't think of that one. That's a good idea. But there's so much information. And if you're concerned with the cost, look at it from how much time would it take you to accumulate all this information on your own. And I'll tell you what, it would cost you way more than joining the community. And that information is going to be right there at your fingertips and curated and updated as it changes. Like, that's going to take you so much time to do on your own. And some people can do it. They can. I'm not one of them. I would lose
interest. I don't want to do that. Right?
No, you don't want to. Someone's already done it. That's what I'm looking for. So for us, it was great. For most people, I think it's a fantastic choice. Again, you got to get the time into it to get what you want out of it. That's the biggest part. If it sits there, you know, dormant, it's not going to help you.
Yeah, if you don't work the program, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You've got to follow the steps. But yeah, I think that it's really good that you bring that up, because there are people who get in, they don't ever look at anything, and then it doesn't work, of course. But like I was just talking with our family of seven that I liked it, because I think it's amazing that a family of seven can do this, the other day. But I mean, and he's big on this too. I'm just working the program that you've set up. And I mean, I personally am floored by what they have been able to do, because I have never tried this with a family of seven. Right?
Right.
And he's like, no, I'm literally just working your system, the basics, and it works. And they have been all over the place, and they're like in their fourth year or something. But, and it simply comes down to following the instructions.
Following the instructions and then being all right with, okay, now I have the basics. And you're saying for a family of seven, like, there's no specific way to do this. Like, you improvise and create your way to do this. But the cool thing about the community is then this family of seven is sharing this information. And now you've got some other family of six or seven who hadn't thought of that way to do it. And I'm stuck. What do I do? And hey, we've solved an idea. Here you go. Oh my God, that's great. We can go do this.
Yep. Yeah. And they're getting, you know, they're doing hotel stays for free and car rentals for free and travel, you know, I'm just like, wow, like, it's amazing. But
car rental, that's impressive.
That's, I know, I've never booked a car rental in points. I was like, really? So he was telling me, yeah, I'm like, the car insurance kicks in even if you book it in points. So that was something I didn't know, because I've never tried to do that. So you could get value of the community and just sharing this information that we're all learning as we, you know, as we go about and do this is tremendous.
Absolutely.
All right. And I did want to ask, because you are now second year member. So can you share anything about why you decided to stay a member now that you know the process and all of that?
For me, it's kind of back to the 80-20 thing we were talking about earlier, is I like the curated information. I like the notifications. I mean, we've had, just from some of the weekly notifications, I think we are going to have two or three trips this year that I probably wouldn't have booked. Because I didn't know they were there. Like, wow. And if I didn't get those notifications, I probably wouldn't have ever even thought about it. Just because, again, I don't have time to go hunt the stuff myself. I'm busy. My wife's busy. It's just, I want someone to give me that information. So it's not so much about year two learning, continuing to learn the process or learning how to do things. And that doesn't mean I don't still do that, but I'm not actively hunting for that new information in the community anymore, unless something changes or there's something I want to do I haven't done. For me, it's mostly about getting the information I wouldn't have otherwise. I think that's the biggest value for me as far as moving past that first year.
Can you share a travel tip?
Let's see. So many travel tips. I could write a book. I think we touched on the most important one I've learned over the years already, which is go do it. Don't be afraid to spend the points and spend a little bit of money, because you never know when you're going to get back to wherever it is you're going. That's a big one. Be flexible, especially when you're working these kind of systems. When you're booking on points, just be flexible. And if you can, and that's going to help you a lot, you know. Be nice to your gate agents. Be nice to the people you talk on the phone. That goes a long way. I can tell you from working in that industry for several years, like, people are, you know, just insert expletive here when they're dealing with people in the travel industry, and they have zero control. They have zero control over your delays, zero control over any of that kind of stuff. There's nothing they can do. They can help you out quite a bit. And they will bend over backwards if you're not, you know, bad to them. They're just people doing their jobs, and they're going to go home at the end of their probably 10-hour shift because there were delays, and they're only supposed to work 8. So be nice to them. Be flexible and don't worry about packing your entire house when you go travel.
we still struggle with that one.
Oh man, it's, you know, most places you go are going to have a convenience store if you forget something. And, you know, $5 at a convenience store is not that big a deal when you're talking about traveling.
Yeah.
So it's okay to forget things. Don't stress about it. And go travel. Have fun when you're there. Don't worry about it. Do what you can. You saved a bunch of money, you know, on your flights and your hotels, and drop a little bit of money and go do some stuff. And it's just, I'm not going to say go max out your credit card and then you can't pay it off, but spend a little bit of money and have some fun, because that's why you're doing it, or else just stay at home. Go travel, experience the world, be nice to the people and the places you go. You're traveling abroad. It's just a different culture. Everyone's just trying to live their lives, make a better life for their kids, no matter where they are. You know, enjoy it, learn from it.
I love all of those. And on spending a little bit of money, I think you said in our community, you know, like you never know when you're going to get back to that place. Right. And that's another reason, like, go do the things you want to see while you're there.
Yeah.
And knowing that you saved a bunch already getting there, you know.
Yeah, if that helps put you over the hump of, I can't go spend that. Well, if you just save several thousand dollars on your trip already, it's okay to go spend $300 or $400. I get it. If you don't have it, that's one thing, but you can probably scrounge up a little bit of money somewhere to go do at least something fun when you travel.
All right. So what is your next trip?
Actually next week. Not a big point saver, but I'm going up to see my wife. She's been up in Washington State for a lead in a show up there for a theater. So she's been up there for a month. So I'm going up there for a weekend, 4 days. So that's the next one. And then the next big one is we're going to Colorado. We're going to Durango, which means we're flying into Albuquerque and then driving up. And we're doing that in August. That's the next big one. We got her cousin's wedding out there.
Have you ever been to Durango?
I have not been to Durango.
Have you been to Telluride?
No, I have not been to Telluride.
Drive yourself up to Telluride from Durango.
Okay.
You will not, that's one you have to see. It's a stunner.
Just have to. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're not far apart, so.
And then past that, maybe a Disney World trip this year. My wife is a Disney fiend. We haven't been post-COVID, so she's due, and maybe try to drag my brother and his wife with us. But it's a little bit harder to get over to Orlando from Reno than it is to get down to LA.
Yes, always a good time to do Disney. Do you want to share about your vacation rental?
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. My family house in Lake Tahoe, North Lake Tahoe, for those that are kind of locals, you know that's the better side of the lake. We've had our family house since the 60s, and we've kind of converted part of it into a one-bedroom apartment that we are offering up to Families Fly Free members for anyone that wants to fly into Reno, Tahoe and spend a few days up at Lake Tahoe. It's on the lake. We have a pier, kayaks, the whole nine yards. It's absolutely gorgeous. The sunsets up there are incredible. It's a really cool spot. And I didn't get to grow up there. It was my grandma's house, but I did spend a lot of time there, and it's really nice. Walking distance to a couple restaurants, mini golf, short drive to some other great restaurants and beaches. It's really cool year round, but that's definitely being offered up to members.
And is there a way, if you're not a member, that you can find it?
You can email me. We do not post it anywhere.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
It is right now. So it's just a member benefit. Friendly Fly Free members. But that being said, you can email me. We'll put it in the show notes. And if you're even just curious or you want to talk about Lake Tahoe, I know some really good local spots. It's where I grew up. So it's a great place to visit, but I recommend the shoulder seasons, fall and spring. Try to avoid it in the dead of winter and the dead of summer. It's since the COVID years, it's gotten so insane that it's enjoyable, but it's a lot harder to get around. You're going to spend a lot of time in traffic, which is terrible. But if you're traveling and trying to get some stuff in, shoot for that fall and spring. But I'm happy to talk to anyone about it. And our spot on the lake is up for people that would like to visit, have a place to stay.
Awesome. I know we keep Lake Tahoe has been on our list for like a million years, and we still have not gotten there. Something always gets in the way.
Yeah, it's funny
we'll
how that goes.
We'll get there one of these days.
Yeah, anyone, you can just email me. The email address will be in the show notes, but that's one of my email addresses.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks so much, Jesse. Love your tips. I hope you guys take some of his tips to heart. Really good ones and good discussion on 80-20 rule, which is definitely our philosophy toward this. So, and that's designed to save you time for sure. We will see everyone on next week's episode. Thanks so much.
If you're ready to fly your family free forever, I invite you to join my family's Fly Free membership. You'll learn how to stop paying for airfare throughout the U.S., Caribbean, and Europe so you can make those priceless travel memories before your kids or even grandkids leave home for good. And you'll learn it using my simple, proven formula that's helped hundreds of families. You can get more information at familiesflyfree.com.